that's doing a marvelous work throughout this world. I got a letter inviting me to come to Anaheim for the general council in Anaheim, California. But in this, he gives some facts. The last time they'd met in Anaheim was in 1983. This is the general council, so all pastors that can go and meet there. Anyway, at that time, in 1983, there were 10,386 churches, Assembly of God churches in the USA. Now there are 13,023. So they've also grown in that amount of time from 2 million to 3.1 million. I'm saying these things not to talk up the power of Assemblies of God. I'm saying these things to talk up what the Holy Spirit is doing. Now here it really gets interesting. Worldwide, including the USA, those same years, churches have grown from 110,635 to over 370,000 churches. And the adherents at Assembly of God churches worldwide have gone from 12.5 million to about 68 million. And so the Holy Spirit is doing mighty, mighty things, not only through Assemblies of God, but in all Spirit-filled denominations and all aspects of where Christ is lifted up and the Holy Spirit is doing great things. So just to encourage you with some awesome, awesome facts, God is doing a great work. Pastor Cheryl's going to come now.
Good morning. Congratulations. You're a survivor. Look at your neighbor. They're survivors. You just survived the longest, coldest, wettest winter. Congratulations, you're a survivor. Oh my goodness. Warm weather is upon us. Anybody been outside this week? Anybody? Yeah, get your hands in the dirt, mowing the lawn. Okay. I tell you, we are survivors and we made it. Congratulations. Congratulate the person sitting next to you. Tell them they look awesome for what they've been through this winter. You know, we depend in this beautiful state on rain and sun to make it as beautiful as it is. And to be beautiful demonstrations that Christ has come into our heart and life, we have got to depend on the Holy Spirit and His power. He wants us to be His fragrance, His light, His salt, be powerful witnesses. And that only becomes possible by our dependence on Him. Let's pray. Father, we just bow our hearts right now. We need you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for the sweetness of your presence, Lord. It's in that beautiful presence that we're changed. Thank you that you do not disappoint us. Father, I just ask right now that you would prepare our hearts for that presence, for that baptism, for more of you, God. I pray that we would hunger and thirst after you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're here to fill us because that's what you do. In this place, Lord, change my heart. Change our hearts, God. And if that is your prayer, would you say in Jesus' name, amen? Amen. As Pastor said, I've been directed this morning to just speak on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as I was studying for this sermon, I came across a great article by Randy Hurst. He is the Commissioner on Evangelism for the Assemblies of God Fellowship. And I discovered in reading his article that one day Randy was asked this question. Randy, what does it really mean to be Pentecostal? And he said, you know, immediately an automatic response came to his mind, and that automatic response was power. But instead of blurting that out, he thought, he pondered, and then he responded. And just stop right there, because I thought that could be a sermon in itself. More of us need to think, ponder, before we respond and just blurt it out. Can I get an amen? All right, nudge your neighbor. So as he thought, pondered, and responded, this is what he said. Pentecostal, to be Pentecostal, is to be dependent. So I read on, and honestly, I absolutely had to agree, dependent on the Holy Spirit. That's what Pentecost is. Pentecost Sunday will be June 4th. And Pastor Tim will unpack the history and the meaning behind Pentecost in more detail on that Sunday. But right now, I want to focus on what utter dependence looks like. We must have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and His continual infilling in our lives. I'm going to touch on many of the things that Randy Hurst put in his article. I found them just to be spot on. So the very concept that we're to be spiritually dependent brings up a variety of concerns in my daily life. And I think you're going to agree. Let's look at a few of these. When you need divine guidance, who do you need? The Holy Spirit. Does anybody depend on the Holy Spirit when you've got a decision to make? Absolutely. Help me, Jesus. Help me now. How about who do you call on when you have emotions that are out of control? Do you need the Holy Spirit? Some of you, this is revelation today. This is going to be transforming. We don't have to be slaves to our emotions. We have the Holy Spirit. How about even just our heart motivation to do right, our want to, our will? Do we need the Holy Spirit? Are we dependent on the Holy Spirit? Yes and yes and yes. My fleshly desires, and to crucify those, I have to have the Holy Spirit. Who do you depend on to have the capacity to forgive others and to show mercy? Speak it out. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I cannot do it. I want to pull their eyeballs out. So I gotta have Holy Spirit to help me. Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. Let's keep it real. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm absolute dependent on Him. It is essential to walk by Holy Spirit. I gotta lean on Him. I gotta count on Him. Always. At all times. Now to live this truly Christian life, being a Christ follower, honoring Him, being filled with the fruits of the Spirit, this life isn't difficult. It's impossible. May I just say? It's impossible. It is absolutely impossible. In my flesh, I'm going to produce destruction. Abiding in the vine and the Spirit of the living God, we produce life and life abundant. Anybody else need help finding it impossible to do this in your own good temperament, in your own good whatever? Nothing good is in me. I'll just tell you that. Let's get that clear. God knows that. He made us. He understands us. He created us with innate abilities. He designed us to need Him. We all have and have probably heard that there's this hole in our heart. It's a God hole. And there's nothing and no one that can fill that hole but God, His living Spirit. I heard an amen. There's nothing. Many of us have tried to fill that void, that hole, that be fulfilled in many other ways. Only Jesus satisfies the soul. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The Lord Jesus promised that He would empower His followers to be witnesses in the world. And that's the same for us. We desperately need the supernatural working of the Spirit to accomplish His purposes in our life. Jesus promised power in the final hours before Jesus' crucifixion. He taught His disciples extensively about the Holy Spirit, whom He would send from the Father to be their helper. John 14, 15 and 16 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever." It's very significant that Jesus' promise concerning the helper, the Holy Spirit, was in the context of obeying His commandments. Jesus' disciples would not be able to obey in their own ability or in their own willpower, and neither can I. Anybody? We cannot. We have to have Him. Jesus' last words to His disciple were in Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." Now, many people, when they think of the Holy Spirit's power, they often envision something very visible, very spectacular, which I would have to say was very true when Peter's shadow was healing the sick. Is that not spectacular? He was so filled with the Spirit of the living God that just His shadow walking over where they had laid the ill would heal them. That's spectacular. Most of the time, the power we need for everyday life is neither spectacular or sensational, but it is supernatural. To accomplish God's purpose in this world requires divine help beyond my abilities, way beyond. Supernatural living is not always outwardly dramatic. The word power in Acts 1:8 is dunamis, and it's absolutely wonderfully comprehensive. It simply just means ability. It applies to how we do life. It's very practical. The power that Jesus promised us and his followers will come at every moment, every minute, every decision, every reaction. That's his power. Every single aspect, my thoughts, the words of my mouth, my deeds are power driven by God's Holy Spirit. He enables us to do what he's already purposed in our life that we would accomplish. Each of us are quite unique. Look around. Ah! I didn't say peculiar. I just said unique. You're unique. Look around how unique we all are. And in that uniqueness, we have different weaknesses. We have different struggles. They're unique to me, my temperament, things that my life comes about in temptations, my past, my present, my future. I am uniquely made with my set of strengths and weaknesses. And the Holy Spirit knows that. He knows our hearts. He knows our motives. He knows those personal flaws. And guess what? He still loves us. Okay? Nobody knows this like Jesus, and he still loves us. When we depend on him, even in those uniquenesses, even in those weaknesses, we can find his strength to be obedient. The help, the power we need comes to each of us individually as an example. The shy, the inhibited person, they may need courage to speak up. Does the Holy Spirit do that? How many times do we hear that? Oh, I used to be stutter. I couldn't speak. I couldn't do this. Pastor Tim has said that. Middle child, very shy. And now God's given him courage to speak up and speak out. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. That's not temperament. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Flip side of that coin. He's getting the courage to speak up. Then there's the outgoing, the impulsive, and that person needs restraint to hush up. Yeah, that's still a work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's no excuses. Well, you know, this is my heritage, or this is the color of my hair, or this is just the way I am. That says that I can't be changed by the power of the Spirit of the living God. That's not true. We can't hide behind our excuses. Okay? Right? And all the Irish said, okay, good, you're with me. The Holy Spirit's power will provide absolutely everything we need. The fruit of the Spirit in the believer's life, found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, says, if you remain in me, this is what you're going to produce. Okay, so he's the vine, we're the branches, we're going to produce love and joy, peace, patience. We're going to produce kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay? They may not seem spectacular, but they definitely are supernatural, and they're beyond what I can do. They are the character traits of the living God in him, the work of his Spirit in me as I abide in him. When people look at our lives, they're going to see love. Because we're abiding in Christ, and that's love for those that have done us wrong. They're going to see overwhelming joy in the midst of sorrow. They're going to see the peace of God in us when we have crisis. They're going to see patience in us when we have tribulation. They're going to see gentleness instead of hostility. These are supernatural. And they're the evidence that Jesus Christ and his Spirit is in us. No more excuses. The supernatural working of the Spirit produces the power to walk as Jesus walked, to be his commercials, to be Jesus with skin on. It's the evidence, it's convincing evidence that the Spirit is at work in my life. When Jesus taught his disciples what would convince other people that they were his true followers, he didn't say it would be the signs and wonders. In fact, he said, watch out, because there's going to be signs and wonders that come not from me, but from the enemy. So don't judge by the signs and the wonders, okay? What did he say? You will be known by your love, one for the other. He said, John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We need the Holy Spirit. We need him every day. We need his power. How many of you are naturally capable of being good? Sweet. Good. We're all in agreement. I like it. We'll all be at the altars. We will be at the altars at the end of the service. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is he motivates. He gets a hold of my will, because sometimes I just don't want to change. Anybody? I really don't want to not eat that. I really don't want to not say that. Have you ever found yourself saying, well, I really shouldn't say this, but, okay, that's the Holy Spirit saying, but we do it anyway. We say it anyway. Anybody? Okay, what is, it's to gratify the flesh. I just gotta tell it all. I gotta just gratify my whole flesh. I gotta say it. Okay. So many times it's my motivation. It's my will. It's my want to that I pray, God, change my heart. Create in me a clean heart. Psalms 51, renew in me a right spirit. Cause I don't even want to do this. Jesus in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done, Father. He had to surrender his want to, his will. Holy Ghost will do that. He'll put the want to in you. And when you start watching yourself morph, it's crazy. Like what you used to want to do, you don't want to do anymore. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Things I want to say that I used to say, I don't want to say anymore. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's like, whoa, butterfly. I was crawling, now I'm about ready to fly. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. He's alive, and he wants to do that if we will be dependent on him. He inspires passion. He inspires desire to read his word. He moves in us if we'll let him, if we'll hunger and thirst and seek him. Anybody get gas in their car this week? Okay, there's a couple. Okay, you did, you remember? Your truck, your vehicle, anybody? Okay, a few. Did any of you get gas last month? In April? A couple of you? Okay, some of you just thumbed it. That's good. Okay, it's cheaper. So I'm going to ask you this. When you pull into the station, roll down your window, and the attendant comes up, because we live in Oregon, yay. And the attendant comes up to the window. Does that attendant just read your mind like, whoa, okay, this person wants $15 of diesel, and they're oil checked. Okay, now this person wants a fill of Supreme. Okay, of course not. They don't read our minds. We have to speak it out. I got 20 bucks. Give me 20 bucks of regular and put some air in the tires. Okay, we speak. We pull up because we run out of gas and we ask for more gas. And we continually do that. Okay, we purchase the car one time, but then we keep filling it up. All right. Think about it this way. Paul exhorted the Ephesian Christians to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. And the tense of that verb implies a continuous action. Keep being filled. Keep on being filled. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is ongoing. We must keep praying and voicing, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. He will help us to live and to love. His Holy Spirit baptism is wonderful, but it is not a one-time experience. Okay? That's salvation. This is a subsequent experience. We need to be filled, and we need to continually come back to him. Fill me. Pour your Spirit into me. I need you, Holy Spirit. You voice to him what you need. In the Beatitudes, the first quality Jesus listed in describing the blessed life was this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Matthew 5. I started this morning's service saying, to be poor in spirit is to realize I am nothing. I'm poverty. I am absolutely nothing in my own spirit. And he goes on to say, blessed are you that you know that. You know your humble state. You know that you can't do that. You know that you're not all that. You boast in your weaknesses so that my power can be seen in you. Blessed are you. Because the kingdom of God, which is power and his authority, is yours. Blessed are you. Living the life that our Lord destined and designed and preordained for us requires that we will depend on his grace and depend on his spirit continuously. Late in life, the apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1:3, the Holy Spirit's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. It's his divine power. But often we hold a form of godliness, but we deny that power. We resist. When he says, don't say that. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't watch that. Don't eat that. We resist the power that is available to us to not do it, to not say it, to not watch it, to not speak it. We deny his power. So to say, I just can't do this. That's not true. We can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. His power is accessible always. Do not deny. Do not turn off the valve to the power of the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. He is here for us. The Holy Spirit will be the empowering presence to spiritually strengthen us if we will say, fill her up. Fill her up, Lord. Fill her up. Jesus taught in parables. They had an analogy. He used stories and he used objects. He brought pictures so that it actually could relate. Maybe a lost coin or a lost sheep or farming. He used examples that we could wrap our brain around so that he could teach a principle and that would stick a little bit better. When I was working on this sermon, I thought of a lot of pictures I wanted to throw up on the screen of things that don't have power versus things that do have power and just show how visual that is, a bike versus a motorbike and so forth. And Pastor Tim, not even knowing that I just had been praying and just asking the Lord, well, what can I do to kind of teach this with a word picture? And he says, honey, I was looking at a video this week and you may want to look at it. It might fit with your sermon. Oh my. Exceedingly abundantly beyond my little still pictures. We have a video we're going to show this morning by Alton Garrison, who is the assistant superintendent of the Assemblies of God Fellowship. And he does a masterful job of explaining the subsequent gift of the Lord. And I think you're going to absolutely love this teaching. It's about 14 minutes long. And after that, we're going to have a time where we actually allow the Lord to alter us. And respond. And Pastor Dee and Denny know that we're speaking on the Holy Spirit. They're so excited this morning. They're prepared to keep those kiddos. If the Holy Ghost just wants to take off, they're prepared. They're loving it. They're praying for us. But we don't want to leave this place without receiving what the Lord has promised for us. So Will's going to get that ready. I'm going to pray for our hearts. Father, I just thank you right now that you are doing a mighty work by your spirit, by your presence. You've made our hearts ready. You've drawn us into this place. We do not want to have all that you've said that we should have. You said to wait, because I'm going to give you power. And that power is going to be so that you can be my witnesses, that you can obey me. Thank you for making that possible, Lord. Just prepare our hearts now. I pray that we be open. I pray that we be obedient and submissive to what your spirit wants to give us today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
This is Cole. For nearly 50 years, coal has been used in our country to generate the lion's share of electricity for our homes, businesses, and industry. This electricity has provided us with power for lighting, heating, cooling, cooking, washing, communicating, entertaining. Well, you get the idea. Simply stated, electricity is essential in providing for the many needs and amenities we enjoy in America.
Here at this power plant,
Every few days, a string of coal cars arrives packed with coal from out of state. When the coal arrives, it drops through the bottom of each car into this unloading station. From here, it travels by conveyor belt, where it is piled and sized for processing. The coal is then moved to a mill station, where it is ground into a fine powder and used as fuel to fire a huge furnace chamber, heating it to over 1,000 degrees. Here in the chamber, water courses through a grid of boiler piping and is superheated to create an intense steam. The steam is then piped into a large turbine engine, where the pressure from the steam rotates the mechanical turbine, turning the electrical generator. As the generator spins, molecules move and charge, creating electricity. That electricity is then transferred to the switchyard just outside the plant, where it's distributed to a number of substations throughout the region, and then on to homes and businesses, supplying them with power. What most people don't realize is that this process is constantly ongoing, creating power every day, 24/7, 365 days a year. But it all starts here with a lump of coal. When you think about it, the process for generating electrical power has many similarities to the process we must all follow as Christians for having spiritual power. When we receive Christ at the moment of salvation, we become a new creation. The Holy Spirit indwells our being and resides in us. And at that moment, we're given a great resource. But like any resource, if it's going to be helpful, it's got to be processed and put to use. Take this lump of coal. It's of little value if I just stand here and hold it. But if you process it and put it to use, it can be a great tool, as we've seen. It's the same for us as believers. If we have the Holy Spirit inside us and we never tap into His power, we miss a great opportunity to do more and reach the full potential God offers us beyond our own gifts and talents. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." These final words of our Savior describe a powerful experience that we as Pentecostals hold dear. It's described in many ways in the Bible, but Jesus and others called it the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He also called it the promise of the Father. One of the things we need to realize is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every Christian. In the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that they were all filled with the Spirit. Peter told the crowd on that day that that promise was for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, even as many as the Lord Himself shall call. Friend, Peter was talking about us, all of us who are in Christ Jesus. Those then, even those of us now, and those that are to come. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate experience that follows salvation. It is not a requirement for salvation, but it is a benefit that every member of the body of Christ can enjoy. So the Holy Spirit baptism is not a requirement of salvation for the non-Christian, but it is an empowering experience for the Christian so that they can be supernaturally equipped. The book of Acts demonstrates a very clear-cut pattern. The Holy Spirit baptism occurs only after someone has truly accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, the Holy Spirit is present during this process, for He is the convicting agent that draws someone to Jesus and baptizes him into Christ. But there is another experience that is different than and subsequent to salvation, and that's where the power of the Holy Spirit is. With that experience comes intimacy, where we want to live a righteous, holy life. And also, there comes a power to witness. One of the things I've learned in being here at this plant, that creating power is really a noisy business. The fire stokes, the pressure builds, the turbine whines, the generator rumbles. Believe me, it's noisy. But it's all part of the process. Isn't that just like the Spirit? The historical record of the book of Acts shows that the baptism is always accompanied by speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. On the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Spirit and spoke in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. This recurring sign of Acts is the initial physical evidence of the Holy Spirit and a sign that one has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Think about it this way. When you purchase something at a store and the clerk gives you a receipt, the receipt is not the purchase. It's only proof of the transaction. Tongues is not the baptism. It is just an indication, proof that the transaction has occurred. Everyone who is baptized in the Spirit should expect to speak in tongues as the Spirit enables them. To me personally, I view the baptism much like this furnace chamber here at the plant, or for that matter, like a steam kettle on a stove. When the water gets hot and begins to boil, there's no containing it. It's going to be released, and with it will come a sound. So it is with our spirit. When we approach God in brokenness, with a heart full of love for God, and our mouths filled with thankfulness for His wonderful gift of salvation, there come a point when we're full and our spirit cannot be contained. It may not make sense to our human understanding, but it does to God. That's what matters. It's not about us. It's about God and our need to worship and give our highest expression of praise to Him. Let me share with you my own experience. I was saved at the age of 6. And immediately I began to pray to be filled with the Spirit. I'd been taught by Scripture and heard from my dad and other preachers that there was a special power that would be available to me to help me live out my life as a Christian and also to share my faith with my friends. Now today, they tell us there are more than 600 million Pentecostals on planet Earth. But it didn't seem that way in the little town where I was raised in Southeast Texas. And it didn't seem to be too cool to be a Pentecostal. So Daddy kept telling me, you can have this inner strength and you can have this power to witness. So I would seek for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I would pray in every prayer service, but I just didn't seem to break through. I could not seem to receive with the evidence that they said I should have. Now my problem was pretty simple to solve, as it turns out. But what you have to understand is the Holy Spirit is a gift that the Father wants to give you. The thing is, you have to receive. You know what my problem was? I wouldn't open my mouth. I mean, literally, I somehow had this feeling that if I spoke, if I opened my mouth, if I cooperated, that it would be me speaking and not the Holy Spirit. Well, He has to use your mouth and your vocal cords. And so I was clenching my teeth and I can't even speak in English with my teeth clenched, much less speak in a heavenly prayer language. I've been seeking for about maybe a year and a half, and I was in a service and my dad had come to pray with me. And he was sitting beside me and I was just crying and I was really moved and the presence of God was so strong and I was needing a handkerchief. And I knew that Dad always carried one in his pockets. So I turned around and tapped him on the shoulder and I said, Daddy, that's what I was trying to say. Let me have your handkerchief. Well, guess what? I opened my mouth. And when I opened my mouth, that's all the freedom I needed. The Holy Spirit was so powerfully real. I began to speak in my heavenly prayer language, and I've never been the same. And for all of these years now, I know what it's like to have a prayer language that builds me up in my faith, a power that gives me power to witness to friends and others, and an intimacy with the Holy Spirit where I can pray in a language that maybe I don't understand. But I'm praying and I'm ministering. I'm even talking about things that even though I don't know it in my mind, God is helping me pray for needs of others. And there's no higher form of communion or communication than praying in the Spirit. Now, out of this baptism process, we're empowered beyond our own capabilities. We're virtually immersed in the Spirit of God in His presence. Human timidness is gone. And we're filled with confidence to share the gospel. There's this desire to live a holy life, to be more Christ-like, to live beyond our capabilities. There's a desire to read the Word. There's a desire to be a greater disciple. And there's this desire to help others. We hear a lot in our culture about being supersized. We're literally supercharged with the mind of the Spirit and the Spirit of Christ. And so at that point, we're able to empty ourselves and serving others. Why? So we can win them. It's not just about tongues. It's about winning the lost. That's why we preach about it so much. That's why we speak it. But I want you to remember one thing. The Holy Spirit baptism is not just a one-time event. It is a continuous process. It's not just a goal, but a gateway to a fuller life, to a greater life of service. The Apostle Paul says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." That word in the original means to be filled and refilled and keep being filled. Why? So we can be filled and serve others and expend ourselves and then be filled again and serve others and expend ourselves. As that filling comes, we keep letting it flow out. That's the process, a cycle of ministry. I want to mention an old energy resource that's being harnessed to provide power for our country. It's called wind energy. There's an interesting thing about wind as an energy resource. It's free for the taking, it is renewable, and it can never be diminished. If that doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit, what does? The same wind that was felt and heard in the upper room on the day of Pentecost is available to us today. The question is, are you open to it? What you may not realize, that the wind generators can be locked down and the blades will not turn no matter how forceful the wind blows. So you can have an unlimited supply of wind and the blades will not turn. It is the same as with a new believer or any believer who resists the Holy Spirit and does not avail himself to the power of that Spirit. And so the choice is ours. Are we going to be a resource for the power that God has promised us? Or are we going to lock it out? The Bible says, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." It's your choice. You see, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to help us live beyond our human abilities. The day we accepted Christ, we were given a great opportunity, the power of His Spirit, unleashed through baptism in our lives, with power to live, to serve, and to win others for all eternity. Friends, let's not squander it. I don't know about you, but my prayer is, Lord, send the wind.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Let's stand. So what we're going to do this, it's still morning, but it's going to be afternoon pretty soon. We're going to use these altars and these front pews for a place for us to respond to this. It would be just, we wouldn't be doing a good service as your shepherds and say, "There you have it, bye, have a nice meatloaf lunch, whatever," without saying, "Oh, this is the gift, this is the offer, come and receive from the Holy Spirit." And Will's prepared. He's going to put some soft music on so that Pastor and I can be hands-on. We want to pray for you. The oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to get in your space a lot. We're just going to let you respond and say, "I've never heard of this, and I need more of the Holy Spirit. I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit." Or, "I haven't been to the gas station in a long time. No wonder my car has been parked on the side of the road. I need gas. I didn't realize I need to be filled and refilled. Fill her up, Lord Jesus." So we just want to ask you at this time, where do you find yourself? Need more of the Lord? Need more of His Spirit? Help with the emotions? Give you guidance? Give you power to be His witnesses? then you want to come to be altered.